Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 122, I want to help you as an individual and help you as a family and help Fundamental Baptist Church as a church all at the same time. I want you to grow in grace. I need to grow in grace. The church needs to grow in grace. We need to grow as a church numerically because it's all about, really all about evangelism and getting people born again. And we have not arrived. And the church is so important to God. It is. God has ordained the church. Please, get away from that laissez-faire, you know, take it or leave it kind of New Testament hobby Christianity. And I've used all of those phrases in the last year. But I want to go beyond that. I want to arrest your attention. I'm praying this morning that God will ring the bell in your heart and you'll say, man, that's it. That's where I got to be. That's what I need to do. That's what I've got to change. Maybe that's what I got to confess in my life. Maybe that's what I got to do more of over here in my life. And if you just recognize this, the church is so important. There's a whole dispensation named after it. This is the church age in which we are living. There is no plan B. There is no, well, God's going to do this over here and God's going to do that over there. It's all to be done through the New Testament local church. This is it. And it will be the church that is raptured off of this planet when the trumpet sounds and the next event in prophecy. Psalm 122. This is God's people going to Jerusalem. David was the writer of this psalm, God the author. And he writes concerning God's people going to Jerusalem. It's twofold. They're going to Jerusalem. They would travel there as pilgrims for the feast days and the holy days and the festivals. And it was always a time of great joy. The only thing I can relate to is going to a preacher's meeting, a big one, like a nationwide meeting. Or if you've ever seen the old video, you know, Sheffy, where in early America, God's people would come together for what they called camp meeting. And it would last for a week, sometimes a month, and everybody was all excited about it. A Bible camp is just a little bit of a taste of that, where you see people you don't see maybe any other time of the week or any other time of the year, and everybody's excited. They're coming together to worship God. That's what the writer is referring to in Psalm 122. It is referring to the joy of God's people upon coming to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built on Mount Zion, and the hillside, and on the hillside of Mount Moriah. And on Mount Moriah, that's where the temple is. And God's people would make their pilgrimage, and it would come for the feast days and for the festivals. And they're all excited. There's joy. There's happiness. Verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You relate it this way. Going to church on the Lord's day. Going to church on Sunday morning. That's how we ought to feel. Good to see brothers and sisters that you don't see a whole lot during the week, and some you never see during the week. And we're coming together for a common cause. And by the way, out there in the big bad world, you know it's tough and it's dark. But we come together, the ecclesia, the called out assembly, the New Testament church, we're with brothers and sisters. We're in the same gospel harness. We're trying to do the very same things. We sing the songs. We're united together in the music. Where we're united together in hearing the word of God. And we come to worship God. We ought to have that same joy that God's people had in the Old Testament in traveling to Jerusalem, in traveling to the temple. For the hope of this age is the New Testament local church. Because it's Christ's church. It's Christ's message. The mantra of the New Testament local church is world evangelism. It's really why we come together. Now listen, if you've gotten to the place in your life where you're overwhelmed and you're overcome by your own little problems and you're starting to withdraw and you're starting to get cynical because someone has let you down in the family of God, that's all the more reason you need the New Testament local church assembly. That's all the more reason you need to look forward to Sunday morning and coming and hearing the word of God. For instance, this psalm is a psalm of encouragement. Let's read it again, verse 1. And let me say this about the church. before I read this and preach this a little bit, we're trying to do something for God here, and it takes everybody. And the church isn't going to be built with pocket change and part-time Christianity. That's not how we're going to reach the world. That's how we're just going to hang on. That's all that will be. And boy, I hope you're not in that mode. Man, I hope you're not thinking, well, I'm just trying to hang on by my fingernails. Man, you got to get on top of that. Let the church be part of that. Let the church encourage you. Shekinah glory is found right here. Verse 1, I was glad, joy and excitement, when they said unto me, it's time to go. Let's go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. You see, it's a pilgrimage. Our feet are involved in that pilgrimage. It's a journey that we are on. And God knew what you were going to be made of and what I'm going to be was going to be made of. And he ordained it. He said, there will be a New Testament local church. There will be an assembly that's going to excite the brethren and encourage the brethren and keep us all going in the same direction. And they will worship me. And he's worthy of our worship. Man, really, the church isn't about me or about you. It's about Christ. But God has gifted you and given you abilities. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit were meant to be exercised in the local church for world evangelism. Any enablement you have been given by God, the Holy Spirit, it's not supposed to be for self-gain, like a lot of people use it. It's not to be supposed to be for self-pleasure, like a lot of people use those gifts. It's to be used for the glory of God. And you can't be disconnected from the local church ordained by God and kind of be a lone ranger and do your own thing. Because there's a whole lot more that needs to be done than what one person can possibly accomplish. So he ordained the church. Our feet shall stand. He said, rejoice, be glad. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together by design. Built on the sides of Mount Moriah, where the temple was built. And Mount Zion. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Great song of the faith. He said, that city was built there and built by design. And I have read and I have been told that the temple was an architectural miracle in how it was put there, in the beauty of it. So much so that when the temple was finally destroyed and they rebuilt Solomon's temple, the older generation, when they looked at it, they wept because it was such a, it couldn't hold a candle to Solomon's temple. Go back to David's day. And Solomon's temple came after David. But go back to David. He's writing this. He's writing this by way of inspiration. I was glad when they said unto me, today's the day. It's Sunday. It's time to go to church. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Everybody is supposed to go to church. All the tribes. And we're a tribal people. We are here too as well. And church is for everybody. And we still do church at Fundamental Baptist Church. We still try to honor God and follow the precepts of the word of God. For there are set thrones of judgment. And David here is speaking of even civil government in Jerusalem, all right? For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And I would tell you this, in the city of God, in Revelation chapter 21, there will be a throne there as well. And it'll be the very throne of God. And it'll be a day for rejoicing. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace be within thee. Hebrew word shalom. Peace. The peace of God within Jerusalem. Fast forward to the year 2018, 21st century, church age. We're just a single New Testament local church, but we're a church. We're one of many, but we're a church. The battle's out there. There's supposed to be peace in here. It's get all you can all you get out there. Step on your neighbor, whatever you got to do to climb the ladder of success. That's out there. That's the cosmos. That's a Christless world system. In here, let nothing divide us. We're one in Christ. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Think on this. Shekinah glory in the temple. That is the visible, recognizable, holy presence of God in the Old Testament tabernacle, in Solomon's temple. It's there. The church, we have the presence of God. It's visible. He's real. It's Shekinah glory. And it changes everything. Go to Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. There's always so much going on here. Maybe if you're not the pastor, you don't know. Assistant pastors, they know some of it. They don't know it all. I kind of watch over these guys and protect them and shepherd them and don't put everything on their shoulders and that kind of thing. And I say that tongue in cheek. But the truth is, you know what? There's so much happening here all the time. I traveled down to Holland, Michigan on Monday last week. We have put together a series of brunches for pastors, just trying to reach out. We picked up some new churches for Baptist Pioneer Mission. We got three new churches for camp from Southwest Michigan. They didn't even know we exist. We brought them a brunch, and Bud shared a little bit, and I shared a little bit, and we had some fellowship, and there were kindred brethren of like faith. It's just a constant building process. It's constantly going on. And in the middle of all that, there are people getting ready for heaven right now. Right now. They're getting ready to leave. From our church family, getting ready to leave this earth and go home to heaven. There are people struggling with finances. There are people that have health problems. There are people that have relationship problems. You know, it's just kind of, and then we're doing stuff all the time. God bless the work crew that came and worked yesterday. Man, what a crew. And it was cold out there. You know, we got so much done. Not all the drywall was home, but all the insulation, except for what's above, all the insulation, the three quarters, maybe 8/10 of the drywall, all got done. God bless you. I drew the short straw and had to work with Dave Corby out there on the outside where it was really cold, and we're working in the metal all day long. He didn't wear gloves. Man, I wore gloves. Call me a sissy. I wore gloves. And we need to pray for Jenny, by the way, because when you work with a man, you get to know the real man, right? And he never swore, that nothing. Things were going wrong. You know what it is when you're working with cutting little intricate metals and all that kind of thing. And, he never swore, but he's got a guttural language that is a lot of grunts and groans and thinks out loud and says, oh, yeah. What's scary is I understood every word. So there's a lot going on in the church all of the time. And the bigger the church gets, there's going to be more moving parts. And where there's moving parts, there's always going to be from time to time, because the oil of the Holy Spirit, there's always going to be some friction from time to time. We got to bring the Holy Spirit into those situations. And understand this, in every situation, the mature person is always going to see the big picture. The immature person is just going to see the little picture. The big picture, the little picture. I told you to go to Ephesians, I better do that myself. Ephesians in chapter 3. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, talking about mature Christians, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Somehow try to grasp the message of the love of God in my life and in the life of everybody around me, and trying to get that message out. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that's the Holy Spirit, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And they lived happily ever after. That's really what could be put there, for the church. Because truly the best is yet to come. And in the world in which we're living right now, we need to live boldly for the glory of God. Okay, that's my introduction. Now, let me just give you a few things that won't be new. This is just some practical things, and I'm going to go back and wrap up Psalm 122. I've got some practical things I would like for you to incorporate into your life. As a matter of fact, it would be wonderful if you would not only incorporate them, you'd write them down, maybe help you do that just a little bit. And we're not going to look at all the text because I've used up so much time. And I think God was in that and what I've shared so far. And that's the meat of the message. That's the doctrine of the message. Now, let me be very practical with you and help you. We're coming into the wintertime. You probably recognize that. And there's going to be some difficult Sundays as far as moving snow and getting to church. And the days are going to get dark and the evening services a little tougher to get to. I want to encourage you. This is how you can grow your family. This is how you'll grow individually. I said it. That was a good group in Sunday school this morning, the auditorium class. I said it so everybody was here in Sunday school. Man, that was good this morning, wasn't it? Man, that was good doctrine. It was good. It was exciting. And you could sense the presence of God. And I stopped and did the little time out and said, wouldn't it be great if everybody that was a member of Fundamental Baptist Church was here to hear this morning? And that's the way I want to encourage you. Dr. Lee Robertson used to preach. He's been in heaven a long time. Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. One of the largest, it was the largest Sunday school in the world for many, many years. Good fundamentalist, independent Baptist, war horse. And he used to say this. This was his mantra. This was his theme. He'd always say to his church people, three to thrive. Three to thrive. In fact, it was written everywhere. Three to thrive. You say, preacher, what was he talking about? Three services a week. Because every service is different. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He'd say three meals a week, three to thrive. By the way, do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Man, do you really hunger for the Scripture? Are you getting enough Bible? Are you getting enough Bible to just survive, or are you thriving? Man, you had to have a thirst and a hunger for God's Word that you can't get to church enough because of it. You know the text in Hebrews in chapter 10. You don't necessarily need to turn there. I open to it. I'll read it, but just write it down. Attend church three times a week. Let us consider one another, because that's one of the reasons of the church. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You say, well, I don't come to Sunday night services anymore. You have discouraged others from not coming as well. I guarantee it. You have. You know who else doesn't go to church on Sunday night? All the liberal churches in the area. In fact, they don't even have a Sunday night church service anymore. They used to. They don't anymore. You know why they're drying up? They don't have a hunger and a passion for the Word of God. Three to thrive. I ask you that question again. Are you getting enough Bible? Are you getting enough Bible to thrive? Or are you just surviving? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, I read verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Other people do it, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be even more faithful and more on fire, knowing that Jesus is just around the corner. The judge standeth at the door. The trumpet is going to sound. Attend church three times a week. Do not diminish the Lord's day. Don't let anything come between you and church services unless you're sick, you're providentially hindered some way. You work shifts. You got to guard prisoners. I understand that. Outside of that, man, you need to be here every time the church door is open. You say, well, there's a ball game. I got to see that. There's a little thing on most of our television sets now, or most of our, you can record those ball games. As a matter of fact, I would recommend that you record them. It is better for your mental health. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Here's how it works at my house. I love football. I guarantee you, I'll be recording games this afternoon. You watch them all? No. I'll come home from church. I'll see if the Lions won, if they were playing during the time to go to church. And if they won, I'll watch the whole game and enjoy every minute of it. If they lost, click, deleted. Why do I need to suffer? There's enough bad news in the world. I don't need to do that. Think about that. Just think about it. You say, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. That's not important. That's a game. It's a game. I'm not going to. There's enough going on in the world that is negative. I don't need to. Now, if it's on in the afternoon, I'll watch it. But I keep telling myself, especially being a Lions fan, it's just a game. Just a game. It's okay. Just a game. You know, put God first. Say, oh, I need my family time. You can't have better family time than church time. Say, I'm tired. I'm glad Jesus didn't say that when he was carrying the cross of Golgotha's mountain. Three to thrive. Three times a week. Contribute. Write down 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. I'll turn there. Go to a lot of places. You say, oh, yeah, I know you're talking about tithing. No, well, yeah, I am, but not just tithing. There's many ways to contribute. Contribute with the tithe and above, because the tithe is just the beginning. That's for the carnal Christian. And your talents, your time, your efforts. Nobody got paid out there. Nobody's gotten paid in any step of the situation. Building back here. We haven't paid time to anybody. Well, I take it back. I did mention this to Don. You know, a couple dozen donuts, that's pretty cheap wages to get a good work crew here. And I spent like $12, $15 on donuts. We went and got the good stuff, you know, the Long Johns, cream-filled, and, I figured, you know what, they're worth it. They're out there working and so forth, and so that's you contribute. You do what you can do. So maybe you can't do that. You can do something else, but everybody contributes. That's part of the body life of the church. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7 says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The tithe belongs to God. Anything less than the tithe, you're robbing from God. And God will get his tithe. The tithe, that is even for the carnal baby Christian. That's just the start. That's just the beginning. I'm preaching to the choir. This is a given church. This is. That's amazing what God has done here. It's amazing what people are willing to give and give of their poverty. It's amazing. So I commend you, and I want to encourage you and exhort you, do even more. Be that channel that God uses. And don't try to be a bookkeeper with God. You know, don't put on your little speckles and your little cap there and with a colored brim and be a pencil pusher and try to outsmart God. Just give to God. Just give to him. You'll never, ever outgive him. Contribute. Contribute. If you don't contribute, you just eat all the time and you don't do anything, you get a big belly. Spiritual big belly. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And never involved. Don't come to church preoccupied. I've got exactly 5 minutes. Don't come to church preoccupied. Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeem the time. If Christians would come to church already right with God, just think what God could do. The preacher wouldn't have to spend all his time preaching, you know, Psalm 122. He could be preaching the gospel because there'd be 50 unsaved people here. Just think what God could do. You got to feed the sheep, feed the brethren, that's part of it. But that's a two-edged sword. We got to preach the gospel as well. And I would tell you, turn off your cell phones, power down, come to church, not distracted. Come to church to worship God. Not a fashion show, not trying to outdress anybody else, but you're not going to the gym either. And you dress up like a Jacob said to his sons, his family, wash your face, change your garments, we're going to worship. It's old-time church. Will you come? If it was the President of the United States and you were going to meet with him, you'd put on the best you got. That's all I'm saying. You'd put on the best you got. And if the best you got is a t-shirt, so be it. But you'd put on the best you got. You'd honor God. It's part of the worship. You get a good seat. You know, I used to say this all the time. It's a 50-yard line, ringside seats, front of the bus and the back row of the church. And God gets the message. And the truth is, set yourself up for success. Not everybody can sit in the front of the church. No buildings are built that way. Somebody has got to be in the back. I recognize that. Some of you moved to the back when you were raising your kids and your kids graduated and you never left the back row. You know? By the way, if I was raising my kids and I was coming to a fundamental church that got to hear Bible preaching every Sunday, I would be sitting with my kids in the front of the church. I'd want them to get everything they could. I'd want them to not be distracted in any way, shape, or form. And so I just encourage you. be a spiritual sponge. Here's six things I wrote down. Number one, front of the church, or as good a seat as you can get. Set yourself up for success. When you read in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5, Jesus stood up to preach. There was a press of the people. That word press. They were trying to get to the front. Everybody in the crowd, they were trying to get to the front. So much so that Jesus was actually being pushed in the water. And there were some boats, and he got out in the boat. So, and I can still imagine the people out in the water, just that press, because they wanted to get close to Christ. They wanted to get all they could. Again, I ask you, are you getting enough Bible? Man, just develop a hunger and a passion for the Word of God. Be a sponge. You know, statistics tell you this. You know this. I've shared this before. You sit in the front of the classroom, you get better grades. You sit in the back of the classroom, you're daydreaming all the time. You sit in the front of the classroom, you pick up more by accident than you will in the back trying to concentrate. There's no distractions. You're right there. Get a good seat. Set yourself up for success, number one. Number two, bring your Bible. Mark it up. Or people to the book, bring your Bible. Say, I got my Bible on my cell phone. That's a convenience. That's a good convenience. But your cell phone's got a lot more on it than your Bible. Let's be people of the book. Love the Word of God. I listen to the Bible, I listen to the King James Bible on my cell phone audio almost every day. I fill in some gaps with that. That's a wonderful thing. But there's something about carrying your Bible to church. That's a testimony. Remember that old guy that got saved about a year ago? You led him to the Lord right over here? And over in front of the mission building, sold him a gun. He come in here and he was out of the area. And he's one of the things he was impressed with, he said, you got a lot of people go to that church. Harry led him to the Lord after church over here in the parking lot. He saw the people coming out of church. Everybody's carrying a Bible. That's a sermon. That's a sermon. First time I went to a Bible preaching church, I was in sixth grade, and that's something I noticed too. Didn't do that at the Presbyterian church where I went. Even men, they're carrying their Bible. What's that book they got in their hand? They're carrying their Bible into church. Love the Word of God. Set yourself up for success. Carry your Bible. Bring it. Pick up a hymnal and sing. Sing like a man, if you're a man. Moving right along. Number four. Be a blessing to people there. Smile. Don't be a wet blanket. Number five, don't be a distraction. I want you to say amen. I'm okay if you wave white hankies. It's all right if you stand up and shout amen every once in a while, but don't be a show, all right? Don't be a distraction. Number six, bring somebody with you. Bring them to Christ. Go back to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's Sunday? Man, it's exciting. Hey, we're going to church, today's church? How many little kids say that? Sunday school today, they get all excited. Man, that ought to be your heart as well. One, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. It's a big, bad journey out here. We get to go home. We get to go to the house of God. We get to go to worship. We're going to Jerusalem. We're going to be with God's people. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together by design. Mount Zion, Mount Moriah. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, Shalom. Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.